Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Zechariah. The coming King, we've called this book of the Bible. And we've not talked much about that part of the book because all the book is leading to that part. And we'll begin really in earnest talking about the coming King in chapter number 9. Today, we're actually going to go back to a verse that we ended with last episode, and that is Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3, where the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." Interesting language there, Caleb, because the people had returned unto Jerusalem. And they found it to be a wasteland. They found it to be a pile of rubble. And they found their task to be just huge. And even now, they're halfway done with that task. They're building, rebuilding this temple, looking over their shoulder. They're having all kinds of external pressure and persecution. And God is encouraging them. So they know that they've returned. But I love the fact that God says, hey, I'm here too. Yeah. I have returned unto Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So what makes Jerusalem a city of truth? And what makes Jerusalem, here called the holy mountain, what makes Jerusalem a holy mountain?
I was reading it. I didn't see you were looking at me. So it's really the Lord. It's without Him, that's not possible. Like you said before, they're just a city of rubble. And to echo on what you were saying previously as well, it's really neat that God explains it that way. That I am returned, because as you were setting the picture, that they see this place that's in need of so much renovation, in need of so much work, in need of so much that needs to get done. And sometimes when we're going through things in life and things seem like a mess and things seem like there's a lot of work needs to be done and that we're just trying to get things back to the way it used to be, that God is already there helping us. God is already, His presence is already there. So I love that. And then he also says, it'll be called the Holy Mountain and it'll be a city of truth. Why? Because I'm here. Because I am the one, I'm the source, and I'm willing and able to be there.
It's really an awareness of the presence of God that solves so many of life's problems. So God says, I'm already here. I love your thought there. I am returned, and I will dwell. So listen, you might not have apprehended the fact that in all of your labor and busyness, I'm here. Okay, I've come back too. I'm with you. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to dwell here. And understand that because I'm here, this is a place of truth. Remember, in the Old Testament, that was the physical place where God met man. He met them at the holy place. The Shekinah glory of God rested on that mercy seat, right? So this is the place. And it's holy because of me. It's truth because it's my word. But think about this, Caleb. In the New Testament, you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So our body is the place where God has chosen to set His presence. Wow. As New Testament saints. Yeah. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. So, wow, I am returned. God is with us. Mm-hmm. I will dwell. God remains in us. And our lives ought to be places of truth and places of holiness because we apprehend and respond to the presence of God in our life.
Yeah, And it's amazing to think that God has orchestrated everything the way that he has, to think that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And sometimes as believers, we go through situations and we almost forget that we have the Holy Spirit. And God says that the Holy Spirit is there. So there, I'm dwelling in you. There's the power. There's the hope. There's the everything you need in me. And so because I do dwell in you, let your body, let your life be of truth and of holiness.
I wonder if sometimes we're not like those people that were doing things for God. Mm-hmm. They're building this temple, but they're tired. They're discouraged. They're afraid. And I think sometimes that describes our life. Okay, my friends, you're listening to this podcast today. What problems are you facing? What negative information have you recently learned? Who is standing against you? And like these people, sometimes those collected problems can become our focus. They can become what drive our emotions. And I think we need to hear the message just as resoundingly as they did. And that is, I am here. I am returned, God says. Hmm. I am in your life. I will dwell with you. We need to garner the encouragement that only comes from a fresh realization of God's presence in our life. Hmm. Verse number 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So again, 4 verses in a row. Word of God, word of God, word of God, word of God. But I love the encouragement of verse 4, where the Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. I love that. Now, first of all, we know that a parent didn't write that verse because they never let the boys and girls play in the streets. But what's the point here, where God is promising that old people will be in the city and young people would be in the city? What is this teaching?
Yeah, there's going to be peace and prosperity, and for generations there will be old and young, and there'll be that peace in that city, but also there's that natural growth that there'll be generations to come.
Right. So the implication here is that during times of unrest, times of battle, times of rebuilding, really you have a core group of workers that come, but it's not a safe place, Jerusalem. The wall is yet to be rebuilt. That's going to happen years later with Nehemiah. The temple is not yet constructed. It's still kind of a construction project, a transitional city. But God says, listen, there's coming a day when people will grow old here and children will play here. You will reap the benefit of your labor. There will be the joy that will come in the morning after a night of intense labor and focus. And so God is pointing to the result of faithfulness. And God does that often in the Bible. Now, we have to be careful not to work for the result. We work for the Lord. We keep focus upon the Lord. But a result ought to be a great encouragement to us. For instance, what is one of the results of trusting Christ as Savior? One of the results is we get to go to heaven. But we shouldn't lead with that.
Yeah.
Like when we witness to people, it's not, hey, do you want to go to heaven? No, that's not the reason they need to be saved. Don't lead with the benefit. Don't lead with the result. Lead with the need. The need is they need Christ. They need a relationship with him. They need for him to dwell in them, right? Mm-hmm. That's verse 3. So it's the dwelling of God that makes it the secure place, whether it appears to be dangerous or not, whether the building is complete or not. It's the presence of God that makes a difference. Now, Is it wonderful that one day it's going to be complete? Is it wonderful that one day there will be that joy and that rest? Of course. But the wonderful part doesn't have to be waited for. The wonderful part is that he is here now, and he is empowering now, and he is securing our lives now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Something I didn't really consider when I first read that sometimes it's easy as Christians, as believers, to live our life, and we at times we might be weary while doing, we might grow tired, frustrated with whatever is going on. And then we have a moment of encouragement, whether it's through a message or a revival or just a friend. And then sometimes we get right back to that wearisome moment very soon, because all we're looking towards is that end benefit. And we just think, oh, I'm just going to do it for that. But then we don't know when that's going to come. We might think of that glorification or going to heaven, and then we're just thinking of that rather than saying what needs to encourage me day by day. What I need to live in is that Christ is here with me. The Christ, his presence, his glory, the Holy Spirit indwelling in me, that daily walk with him is what's going to carry us on day by day throughout our lives.
God's presence is no less real during the time of building than it is during the time of rest. And God affirmed his presence here. Think about the New Testament example. Okay, our lives are being built. We're in this process of sanctification right now. We're being built. Paul uses that very metaphor, that very language in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're built up together, a spiritual house, Peter said in 1 Peter 2, an holy priesthood. We're being built. But the presence of God is no less real now than when the building is completed. I think you referenced glorification. One day we'll be just like Christ. That's wonderful, but we don't have to wait until then to have Christ in us. That day is today. Look at verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. So again, in five of the six verses begin with God says, God says, God says. So thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? And that's just a fancy old English way of saying, like, I know this is amazing to you, God is saying to the people, but just because it's something amazing to you, don't think it's amazing to me. You might be like, wow, this is shocking. This is so amazing. And what God is saying is, don't think this is amazing to me. This has always been my plan. God's work in our life auto amazes. But I'm glad that it doesn't amaze him.
Yeah.
Nothing catches him by surprise.
Right.
So you're going through something right now in your life, my friend, and you're seeing God work at just the right time, and you're saying, amazing, amazing, wow. But God's not up in heaven looking at Gabriel saying, wow, that really worked out. You know, I didn't think that was going to come together, but whew. He's not saying that. God has it all under control. I think about Caleb, when you were a little kid, I showed you how I could actually take my finger off. You remember? I'm showing him right now again. I'd fold one of my fingers down and put my thumb up and show him how I could separate my finger.
Amazing.
Caleb, you were so amazed. You know, the thing is, I wasn't amazed,
right?
Because I knew exactly what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
You were amazed. And I know that's a corny illustration, but God does things in our life and we're amazed, but he's not amazed because he knows exactly what he's doing. So I hope that helps today. I hope that's an encouragement. We're going to dive into verse 7 next episode. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.